going to start from the beginning of the 8th parak on Nun Aleph and Beis. So the Mishnah is going to list a whole bunch of differences that that pertain to a suda that are subject to machlokas between Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel. So the Mishnah says, Elu dvarim shebein Beis Shammai uben Beis Hillel besuda. So the Gemara is going to explain each of these machlokas in. So number one, Beis Shammai omrim, mevarech al hayom v'achar kach mevarech al hayayin. Beis Shammai says that when you make kiddush on Shabbos or Yontif, you first make the bracha al hayom. You say, you know, asher kiddushan b'mitzvosa v'ratz avanu, or, you know, for Yontif, it's a different nosach, and then you make borei pri agafen. But of course, we follow Beis Hillel. Beis Hillel omrim, mevarech al hayayin v'achar kach mevarech al hayom. You make hagafen first, and then the bracha on Shabbos or Yontif afterwards. Beis Shammai omrim, not lin l'yadayim v'achar kach mozgin es hakos. Beis Shammai says that first you wash your hands, and only then do you dilute your wine and mix it. What? Well, we'll see. Yeah, and then you mix the wine. Beis Hillel omrim, mozgin es hakos. So achar kach not lin l'yadayim. The Gemara is going to explain what the nature of this machlokas is. Beis Shammai omrim, mekaneach yadav b'mapa umanicha al hashulchan. Beis Hillel omrim al hakeses. So after a person dries their hands off with a cloth, the question is, where do you put that cloth? So either you put it on the table according to Beis Shammai, or you leave it on the cushion that you're sitting on according to Beis Hillel. Beis Shammai omrim, mechabdin es habayis ve'achar kach nodin layadayim. When you finish eating, you sweep the house, then you wash your hands for mayim achronim. Beis Hillel omrim, nodin layadayim ve'achar kach mechabdin es habayis. First wash your hands, then sweep the house. Beis Shammai omrim, neru mazon besamim v'havdala. That's the order for havdala on Motzei Shabbos, meaning you make, according to Beis Shammai, you do borei me'orei ha'ish, then assuming that you're benching after Shalosh Shudis, you bench, and then you do Besamim and Havdalah. Uveis Hillel Omrim, he says, no, Neru Besamim, Mazon v'Havdalah. That's the order. Beis Shammai Omrim, Shebara Me'or Ha'ish. Uveis Hillel Omrim, Borei Me'or Ha'ish. Again, there's a machlokas of what the proper Nusach HaBracha is for the Bracha of Ish. Then the Mishnah continues, Eim Mevarchin Lo Al Haner, V'lo Al HaBesamim Shal Goyim, V'lo Al Haner, V'lo Al HaBesamim Shal Misim, V'lo Al Haner, V'lo Al HaBesamim Shal Avod Azar. So you're not allowed to make the Bracha of Besamim or the Bracha of Ish on a candle or Besamim, either of a mace, which we'll see what that means in the Gemara, or of a non-Jew, or of an idol-worshipping non-Jew. Ve'in mevarchin al haner ad she'e osu la'oro. You're also not allowed to make a bracha on the candle until you get benefit from the light. We're going to talk about this on tomorrow's daf, which is one of the reasons why we look at our fingernails. We're going to get that tomorrow. Misha acha v'shachach v'lo birich. Let's say a person ate, and then they forgot to make a bracha achrona. So Beis Shammai omrim yachzor l'mekomo v'yavarech. You have to go back to the place where you ate and make the bracha achrona there. Uveis Hillel omrim yavarech yavarech b'makom shiniskar. Just make the bracha wherever you remember. We'll see the Gemara is going to explain that that's assuming that it was Beshogi. If it was Bemeza, then everyone agrees you have to go back to the place where you ate. V'yad masai mevarich, for how long can you recite a bracha achrona? Ad kedesha yis'akel hamazon shebemeyav, as long as the food is still digesting, which we usually assume is about 72 minutes. Bala hen yayin achar hamazon, let's say they bring out wine after your meal. Im ein sham ela oso kos, if that is the only cup of wine that you have, and you also have to bench on a kos, which again we'll see is subject to a machlokas whether you have to do that. Beis Shammai omrim mevarich al hayayin v'achar kach mevarich al hamazon, since it's the only cup of wine that you have, so Beis Shammai says you make the borei pri agafen first on the wine and then you bench. Beis Hillel Omrim says no, mevarech al hamazon v'achar kach mevarech al hayayin. First you bench and then after benching you make a borei pri agafen. V'onin amen achar yisrael hamevarich ve'ein onin amen achar kusi hamevarich ad sheyishma kol habracha kula. If you're hearing a bracha from a Jew, you can answer amen even if you didn't hear the entire bracha. But if you want to answer amen to the bracha of a kusi, you have to hear the entire bracha. So the Gemara now explains. Tana Rabbanan dvarim shebein Beis Shammai Beis Hillel besuda Beis Shammai Omrim mevarech al hayom v'achar. That was the first machlokas. Why does Beis Shammai say you make the bracha of kiddush before you make borei pri agafen? So the Gemara gives two reasons. Number one, shehayom gorim liayin sheyavo. First of all, the day, the fact that it's Shabbos or Yontif, is causing the wine to be brought out. So therefore, it makes more sense to make the bracha on the day first. And also, uchvar kiddush hayom va'adayin yayin lova. The kiddushas hayom has already begun. Shabbos or Yontif has already started, but the wine is still not here yet. Meaning to say, the day becomes holy. The day becomes Shabbos or Yontif before the wine is brought out. So chronologically, it makes sense to make the bracha of kiddush before borei pri agafen. That's all according to Beis Shammai. Beis Hillel Omrim, he says no. Mevarech al hayayin v'achar kach mevarech al hayom. Why does Beis Hillel disagree? Shehayayin gorim l'kedusha shetayamir. The wine is the thing that you're saying the kiddush on. So therefore, since it's the thing that's the platform for kiddush, it makes sense to make borei pri agafen first. Davar acher, another reason for Beis Hillel. Birkas hayayin tadira uvirkas hayom ina tadira, and therefore tadir v'she'ino tadir kodem. Of course, we have the principle of tadir v'she'ino tadir. Since people drink wine more often than it is Shabbos Shabbos or Yontif, you make the Borei Pri HaGafen first. And the Gemara points out, V'halacha kedivrei Beis Hillel. We paskin, as we know, like in almost all cases, we follow Beis Hillel. So asks the Gemara, my davar after, why does the Gemara need a second reason that we follow Beis Hillel? V'chi tema hasam tarte v'hacha chada. Maybe you'll tell me that Beis Shammai had two reasons why you should make Kiddush before HaGafen, but Beis Hillel only has one. No, it's not true. Hachanami tarte ninu, v'rkasayayin tadira, v'rkasayom ina tadira, tadir v'sheinu, tadir tadir kodem. The Gemara says, no, we actually also have two reasons for Beis Hillel, and that's the reason why we follow Beis Hillel. So the Gemara says, V'halacha kedivrei Beis Hillel pshita, d'hanafka maskol. What's the chiddush that we follow Beis Hillel? Everyone knows that we follow Beis Hillel, because the Gemara tells us in Erevin that there was a baskol that came out that said that we always paskin like Beis Hillel. So why is the Gemara going out of its way to tell us we paskin like Beis Hillel? So the Gemara gives two answers. Iba yasema kodem baskol. Either this, you could say this Gemara was written before that baskol came out. V'iba yasema liachar baskol v'rabbi Yehoshua hi d'amar in mashkichin bevaskol. Maybe this was after the baskol, but this reflects the famous opinion of Rabbi Yehoshua, which primarily appears in Bava Metzia, where he says we don't listen to heavenly voices. It's part of the sugya of Loba Shemayim. We don't listen to things that are coming out of Shemayim. So one might have thought maybe we don't follow Beis Hillel. So no, Kamash Molan from the Gemara that we do in fact follow Beis Hillel. So asks the Gemara, V'savri Beis Shammai de Birkas Hayom Adifa. Does Beis Shammai really believe that Birkas Hayom, meaning the bracha of Kiddush, is better than Borei Pri HaGafen, and meaning to say that it takes precedence that you have to say that bracha before Borei Pri HaGafen? The Hasania, the Braisa says, Kanichnas Levitzo B'motzoi Shabbos Mevarich Al Hayayin Va'al Hamor Va'al Habesamim Va'acharkach Omer Havdalah. Beis Shammai says when you come back home on Motzei Shabbos, so the order, the Seder Hadvarim that you do, he says, is that first you make Borei Pri HaGafen, and only at the end you say Hamavdil. Ve'im Ein Lo Ela Kosach. If you only have one cup of wine, Manicho La'achar Hamazon U'Mishal Shalom Kulan Li'acharav. So basically you bench on the coast, but you leave it and you don't actually drink it, because actually you're really not allowed to drink after Shkia on Motzei Shabbos once you bench on Shalosh Shodes. So you leave that one coast over and you make everything. In other words, you say all the brachos of Havdalah on that coast. So the Gemara says, well, hang on a second. V'hami ma'ide Beis Shammai Duma Beis Hillel. How do we know the author of this brisa is Beis Shammai, and maybe the author of the brisa is Beis Hillel? Meaning the fact that the brisa says I should make a Borei Pri HaGafen before I make Hamavdil on Motzei Shabbos, maybe that's only Shitas Beis Hillel. Maybe Beis Shammai would disagree with that. Gemara says, no, it's not true. Lo salka daitach dekatane ma'or va'acharkach besamim. Everyone agrees in the Mishnah, even though we had a machlokes about the order of Seder Advarim by Havdalah, both Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel agree that the bracha of Ish takes precedence over besamim. Uman shamatzle diisle haisvara Beis Shammai. Beis Shammai is the one who believes that the bracha of Borei Ma'orei Ha'ish takes precedence over besamim. How do we know that? The Sanya Gemara says. The Gemara says, "Amar Rav Yehuda, lo nechluku Beis Shammai uveis Hillel al hamazon shebatchila va'al havdala shehi besof." Again, remember we had a machlokas in the Mishnah about the order of a person making havdala after they're eating shalosh shodes. Everyone agrees that you have to bench first and that you have to make hamavdil at the end. Amar nechluku al hamor v'al habesamim. Machlokas is what's the order between ha'ish and besamim. Beis Shammai omrim ma'or va'acharkach besamim. He says that you make borei ma'orei ha'ish first. Uveis Hillel omrim, the way we paskin is that besamim va'acharkach ma'or, you make the bracha on the besamim first. So the Gemara says, you see from here that everyone accepts this premise that you're really supposed to make the bracha of Hamavdil later after HaGafen. So how could Beis Shammai say in the case of Shabbos that the bracha of Kedusha Sayom takes precedence over HaGafen, where on Motzei Shabbos he clearly agrees that he agrees that the opposite is true, that HaGafen takes precedence over Hamavdil. So the Gemara says, well, hang on a second. Umimai de Beis Shammai va'aliba de Rabbi Yehuda, Dilma Beis Hillel va'aliba de Rabbi Meir. Not everyone agrees to this presentation of the machlokas between Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel. The version that we quote was that of Rabbi Yehuda, but Rabbi Meir actually has a different shita about the machlokas between Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel, where according to his version, Beis Shammai would also disagree about Motzei Shabbos, and according to Rabbi Meir's version of Beis Shammai would say that you do make Hamavdil before you make Hagafen. So maybe it's not such a crazy thing to say. Maybe you could say that the brisa does not reflect the presentation of Rabbi Yehuda. So then once again, the Gemara says, Lo salka daitach, dekatani hacha b'masnisin, Beis Shammai omrim ner u'mazon b'samim v'havdalah, u'Beis Hillel omrim ner u'v'samim mazon v'havdalah. Because the way the Mishnah formulates the machlokas between Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel, it assumes that both Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel agree that the bracha of Hamavdil is being said at the very end of Havdalah, which means that we obviously follow Rabbi Yehuda's version of Beis Shammai, that the bracha of Hamavdil is being said all the way at the end, in other words, after Borei Pri HaGafen, which again is going to be a contradiction to what we said regarding the bracha for Kiddush on Friday night. The Gemara says, V'hasam b'braisa katane, im einlo ela kosachar manicho liachar hamazun u'mishal shalom kulon liacharav, and the braisa said that if you only had one kos, then you save it for Havdalah, and you make all the brachos of Havdalah on the coast. So the Gemara says, Shema mina de veshama hiva aliba de Rabbi Huda. So you see that the correct version of the machlokes is Rabbi Huda, which means that lemaisa, we assume that Beishama holds that Hamavdil is going to be said at the end of Havdalah. But the problem is, umikom makum kashya. So again, how do we explain that? Again, the overarching question in this whole Gemara is, how can Beishama say that Hamavdil is being said at the end of Havdalah and Hagafen is being said before, where on Friday night he says that the opposite is true, that you make they make the bracha of Kiddushas Hayom, the bracha of Kiddush, before Hagafen? Shouldn't, in other words, the two should be consistent? So the Gemara says, no, it's not true. Kasavre Beishamai, Shaini Ayule Yoma Me'afuke Yoma. Beishamai says there's a big difference between when Shabbos begins and when Shabbos ends. What's the difference? Ayule Yoma Kama Demak Deminan Le'adif. Afuke Yoma Kama Demacharin Le'adif Ki Heichi Delo Lahavi Alon Kemasoi. When Shabbos begins, you want to accept Shabbos upon yourself as quickly as possible. So Beishamai says the way to demonstrate that is to make Kiddush earlier than Hagafen. But when Shabbos ends, you want to delay ending Shabbos so it doesn't appear like a burden to you. Therefore, he says you should make Havdalah after. You should make it after you make the bracha Bori Pri Hagafen. Okay. So now the Gemara wants to know, Vesavri Beishamai. In other words, Beishamai says that there's a difference between the formulation of Kiddush on Friday night and Havdalah on Motzei Shabbos. He says the reason why you make the bracha of Kiddushas Hayom, of Kiddush, before you make Hagafen on Friday night is because you want to accept Shabbos earlier. You want to show that you want to jump on Shabbos, right? So that's why you make the bracha of Kiddush first. Whereas a Motzei Shabbos, you don't want to show that Shabbos is a burden to you, so therefore you make the bracha of Hamavdil, which really ends Shabbos after Hagafen. That's the difference. Okay, so now the Gemara asks, "V'savrei Beishamai Birkas Hamazon Tuuna Kos." Now the Gemara just asks a general question, which is it really true that Beishamai requires you to bench with a kos? For Hatanan, the Mishnah says, "Balohem Yayin Liachar Hamazon." If they bring wine to you after the meal, "Im Ein Sham Ela Oso Kos." If this is the only cup of wine that you have, Beishamai Omrim Mevarech Ala Yayin VeAcharkach Mevarech Ala Mazon. Beishamai says, first make a gafen and then you bench. My Lav De Mevarech Ilave V'Shasilei. Presumably, the Gemara is assuming that you make the bracha on the wine and then you drink it, which is why that seemingly Beishamai holds that you don't in fact need to bench on a coast, because he says you can make the bracha on the coast first and then bench afterwards. And sounds like you're, in other words, if you're making the bracha on the coast, the assumption is that you probably drink the coast, which means that there's no wine left to drink after benching. Mar says, no, it's not true. The mevarich ilaveu manachle, you made the bracha on the coast before benching, but you left it there until after benching and then drink the wine after benching. So the Gemara says, how is that possible? The ha'amar mar ha'mevarich tzarech sheyitum, you have to drink some of the wine once you make the bracha. The Gemara says, you're right, to time lay. The guy drinks some of the wine. The Gemara says, okay, but v'ha'amar mar, taimo pigamo. But once you taste some of the wine, you've been pogim, you've blemished the coast. You can no longer use that coast as a coast shabrach. You can no longer use that coast to bench on. The Gemara says, no, to time lay biyade, where you remove some of the wine with your hand. In other words, you didn't actually drink directly, you kind of just spilled out some of the wine with your hand. So the Gemara says, okay, v'ha'amar mar, coast shabrach tzarech shir, v'haka pachas le mishiyure. But a coast shabrach, when you bench on a coast, you need to have the requisite shear of wine, and you just lessen that shear by pouring out some of the wine into your hand. Mar says, no, denufishle tfei mishiure, where your starting point was that you had a lot more wine than was necessary, so even though you poured a little bit of wine out after you made the bracha, it didn't affect the fact that you still had the proper shear. The Gemara says, yeah.
There are different sizes of cups.
Correct. Yes. Yeah. The assumption is that you have to have at least a revius of wine in order, right? In this case, to have a kosher bracha. Yeah. So the assumption is, let's say you have, because we assume that a revius is about 3.3 ounces. So you have, an 8 ounce kosher. So you pour a little bit out. You still have the proper shear. So the Gemara says, well, hang on a second. V'ha im ein sham ela oso kosher katani. But didn't we say that this is the only kosher that you have, implying that once you pour the wine out, you can no longer use it for benching? Gemara says, no. Trelo have umechad nafish. What the Braisa meant was that you don't have enough wine for two kosos, in other words, one to make hagafen now and then another to make hagafen after benching, but you have more than enough wine for one kos. So therefore, the Gemara says, therefore, if you pour some of the wine out, you still have enough for drinking the wine after benching. So the Gemara says, V'hatani Rabbi Chia, Beisham Ayomrim, Mivarech Alayayin, Vishoseyu, V'acharkach Mivarech Birkas Hamazon. But Rabbi Chia says that according to Beishamai, not only do you make the Borei Pri Hagafen before benching, but you actually drink the wine before benching. That's against what we just said before, because before we said that you make the Borei Pri Hagafen and then you save the wine for after, just pour a little bit of it out. Now Rabbi Chia says that according to Beishamai, you actually have to drink the entire cup of wine. That's against what we just said. Gemara says, you're right. There are two versions as to what Beishamai said. Okay, so the next machlokas in the Mishnah we said Bishamay Omrim, right? This was regarding the question about whether you should first wash your hands and then mix the cup, or whether you should mix the cup and then wash your hands. So the Gemara explains. Tana Rabbanan, Bishamay Omrim, not lin liyadayim ba'achar kach muz genesekos. First you wash your hands and then you mix the cup. Then you dilute the wine. What? Why? She'ima to Omrim muz genesekos tchila, because if you were going to dilute the wine first, the problem is gzeira shema yitamu mashkin sha'achore hakos machmas yadav v'yachzeru v'yitamu esakos. The concern is the following: that maybe there would be some of the wine would splash onto the outside of the cup, and then that wine would become tameh because of your hands, and then with and that wine that is now tameh would therefore make the kos tameh. So what, in other words, what's the concern here? So basically there's a Mishnah in Maseches Machshirin that says that the Chachamim made a gzera derabanan that our hands have the status of a sheni latuma. Now even though we know that mida oraisa, we assume that you can't, for example, make liquids tameh mida oraisa, that was only a gzera derabanan, but Chazal instituted that our hands have this din of a sheni latuma, which is actually one of the reasons why we even wash netilas yadayim for bread, because Chazal were afraid that if we handle truma can become a shlishi latuma. If we handle truma with tameh hands, we would ruin the truma and then we would be forced to burn it. So Chazal made a gzera derabanan that we have to wash our hands for netilas yadayim. So the Gemara says here that the concern, according to Beis Shammai, if you go ahead and you mix the cup before washing your hands, the concern is that your hands are still going to be tameh. They're going to touch the liquid, and then the liquid is going to make the kos tameh. Therefore, he says you have to make sure to wash your hands first. So the Gemara asks, "V'litamu yadayim lechos? Why can't your hands that are tameh just make the cup tameh without the conduit of a liquid? In other words, why do I need the wine to splash on the outside of a cup in order to make the kos tameh? The kos should become tameh just by me touching it automatically." Gemara says, "No, yadayim shniosin ve'in shinios ashlishi bechulin ella al yedei mashkin, because your hands have the status of a sheni latuma, as we mentioned before. The Chazal made a gzera derabanan that our hands are a sheni latuma. The only way that a sheni latuma can make something tame as chulin into a shlishi latuma is if there's a conduit of a liquid." So just to give a little bit of context here, when it comes to tuma vatara, so the concept of a shlishi latuma mida oraisa only applies to truma. Chulin typically can never go below a sheni. Right? Usually a sheni latuma are things like ochlin umashkin. Food and drink can become a sheni, but that's only mida oraisa. Mida rabanan, so Chazal made a gzera that even chulin can become a shlishi latuma. However, that gzera de rabanan is only true if there's a liquid that's causing the tuma to spread. So in other words, Beis Shammai says the only time that you're going to be able to make this kos tameh is if the wine splashed on the outside of the cup, and then your hands, which are tameh as a sheni latuma midurabanan, because you didn't wash them yet, touches the kos, then the kos becomes tameh. If your hands are dry and you touch the kos and there was no liquid anywhere, so then the assumption is that it's not going to make the kos tameh. That's all according to Beis Shammai. Uveis Hillel Omrim, he says the opposite. Moz genes ha-kos ve'achar kach noten la'yadayim. First mix the wine and then wash your hands. Why? She'ima to omer noten la'yadayim tchila. Because if you were going to wash your hands first, gzeira shema yitamu mashkin shebiyadayim machmasakos v'yachzeru v'yitamu esayadayim. Beis Hillel is more concerned about the water on your hands after you wash, and you didn't dry them properly, and that water is going to then make the kos tameh, and then it's going to go back and make your hands tameh again. It's going to basically undermine the whole point of washing your hands. So once again, the Gemara asks, v'nitamu kos liyadayim. Why can't the cup just make your hands tameh without the conduit of water? Why do you need the water there to make your hands tameh? So the Gemara says, no, because in kli mitameh adam, we have a principle that a kli without any liquid involved cannot make a person tameh. Okay, the Gemara then asks, v'nitameh lamashkin shebesocho. How come the liquid inside of the cup is not tameh when you handle it, even if your hands are dry? If your hands are tameh and they're dry and you touch a kos, so any liquid inside of the kos should become tameh. The Gemara says, no, hacha b'chli shenitmu achorov b'mashkin askinan. Desocho tohor v'gabo tameh. We're talking about a kli where the outside of the kli is tameh, but the inside of the kli remains tahar. Where the halacha is that only the outside of the kli is in fact tameh. The inside is going to remain tahar. How do we know that? The Sna'an, the Mishnah says in Maseches Kelim, kli shenitmu achorav b'mashkin, achorav tamein, tochova ognova azno v'yadav tahorin. So if the outside of a kli, and again, by the way, this is not talking about old kelim, this is talking about like metal kelim and wood kelim, but things like earthenware have a different status. But if, let's say, for example, the outside of a metal kli became tameh, the insides and the rim of the kli and the handle of the kli, all those other things remain tahar. However, nitmatocho, nitmakulo. Once the inside of that kli becomes tameh, then the entire kli becomes tameh. So the Gemara wants to know, what exactly are Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel arguing about here? So the Gemara explains, Beis Shammai savre asur lehishtamish b'chli shenitmu achorav b'mashkin gzeira mishum nitzotzos. Beis Shammai says one is not permitted to use a kli that is only tameh on the outside. What's the concern? Because maybe some of the wine is going to splash out onto the outside of the kli, and as we mentioned before, if that happens, according according to Beis Shammai, you're going to make the kos tameh. V'leikul amigzar shema yitamu hamashkin shebi yadayim b'chos. However, Beis Shammai was not concerned for Beis Hillel's gzera that the water on your hands is going to make the kli tameh. Why was he not concerned for that gzera? So the Mefarshim explained, the Rishonim stated, the reason is because Beis Shammai holds, as we just said before, that you're not allowed to use a kli that became tameh in the first place, even just on the outside. So if that's the case, so then Beis Shammai says, there's no reason for me to make another gzera because you're not supposed to be using this kos anyway. However, Uveis Hillel Savri, he says, no, mutter lehishtamish b'chli shenitmu achora b'mashkin. Beis Hillel says, you are in fact allowed to use a kos that's only tameh on the outside. Amrei nitzotzos lo shchichei. Beis Hillel assumes that it's very uncommon for the wine to splash on the outside of the kli. V'ikol lemecha shema yitamu mashkin shebiyodayim machmas hakos. It is more probable, says Beis Hillel, that the water on your hands because of washing is going to make the kos tameh, which will then make your hands tameh again. That's the reason, yeah.
That's
the reason why Beis Hillel and Beis Shammai disagree, because they're arguing about whether you're allowed to use a cup that only became tameh on the outside. If you think that you're not allowed to use it like Beis Shammai, so then there's no reason to make a gzera to say, oh, that I have to wash my hands first, because you're not supposed to be using this cup in the first place. But if you hold like Beis Hillel that you're allowed to use it, so then you have to set up precautions to make sure that your hands are tahor. This way, when you handle it, it doesn't make your hands tameh again.
Are we talking about a person who was tameh because they were in contact with a dead body and they might...
It could be, a person could be tameh for any number of reasons. The word doesn't specify why he's tameh.
But a regular person wouldn't normally be, a regular person who wasn't tameh. Okay, the water spilled on over, the cup would still be tar, right?
Yeah, if the person's tar, then there's no issue. Yeah, correct. Yeah, but again, the issue here is that it's like a gzeira. Like, if we let you do it this time, so next time when you're tameh, you're not going to realize what you're doing. Okay, now the Gemara says, Davar Acher, another reason for Beis Hillel, is Techef L'Netilas Yadayim Suda. There's a general principle that one is supposed to wash immediately before the meal. Now, if that's true, that would explain why you should mix your wine and make Kiddush before you wash your hands. So the Gemara asks, My Davar Acher, why do we need this alternative reason for Beis Hillel? So the Gemara says, Hachi Ka'amri. You, Beis Shammai, say that you're not allowed to use a cup where only the outside is tameh because we're afraid the wine is going to splash on the outside of the cup. He says, yeah, but nonetheless, my halacha is more correct because, as we just pointed out, there's an additional factor which has nothing to do with Tumah V'Tahara, which is that you're supposed to wash right before you eat your meal, which is, if that's true, then obviously you have to mix the wine and make Kiddush before you do that. Okay, then the next machlokas in the Mishnah, we said, Beis Shammai Omrim Mikaneach. So what was that machlokas? Tana Rabbanan, Beis Shammai Omrim Mikaneach, Yada B'mapa U'manicha Al HaShulchan. Beis Shammai says that after you dry your hands with a cloth, you have to put the cloth on the table. She'ima to Omer Al HaKeses, because if you're going to say that you put the cloth on the cushion that you're sitting on, Gzeira Shema Yitamu Mashkin Sheb B'mapa Machmas HaKeses, V'yachzeru V'yitamu Es HaYadayim. What's the concern? That the cushion that you're sitting on is Tameh, as we'll see in a second in the Gemara, we assume that you're allowed to sit on a Tameh cushion. There's nothing wrong with that. So if I put my wet cloth on the cushion is going to transmit the tumah onto the cloth. And when I then pick the cloth up again, my hands are going to become tameh because of the cushion. So the Gemara says, okay, but again, this is the same type of question we asked in the previous. So yeah, vini tamye keses lamapa. Why can't the cushion make the cloth tameh without the medium of a liquid? The Gemara says, no, in kli metameh kli. Without liquid, one kli cannot transmit tumah to another kli. Okay, the Gemara asks, vini tamye keses legavra gufe. Why can't the cushion just make the person sitting on it tameh? The Gemara says, no. In kli mitamei adam, again, without the medium of a liquid, a person cannot become tamei because of a kli, because we know that adam mekalim can only go as low as a rishon letuma. So if you have a kli that's a rishon letuma, let's say the cushion, and a person sits on a rishon letuma cushion, he's not going to become tamei. Uveisil omer, Beisil says, no, al hakeses. He says, you should dafka put the cloth on the cushion, not on the table. Why? She'ima to omer al hashulchan, because if you put the wet cloth on the table, gzeira shema yitamu mashkim shebemapa machmas hashulchan, v'yachzeru v'yitamu es ha'ochlin. So the problem is that maybe the table is tameh, and the tameh table is going to transfer the tumah to the cloth, and when you pick the cloth up again, your hands are going to become tameh. So the Gemara asks, Vili tameh shulchan liyochlin shebesocha. Why doesn't the table just make, if I set a table with food and the table is tameh, the food should become tameh automatically, even if there's no liquid there. Gemara says, no, hacha b'shulchan sheni askinan ve'en sheni osa shlishi b'chulin ela aydeh mashkin. This we quoted back on Amud Aleph, which is that the case is where the table is only a sheni latumah. If it's only a sheni latumah, the only way to transmit a sheni latumah to chulin, to make chulin into a shlishi, which again is only midrabanan, because midoraisa chulin can never go below a sheni, is only through liquid. So if there's no liquid, if I'm just putting food on a table that happens to be a sheni latuma, the food is going to remain tar. So the Gemara says, b'maikum b'flegei, again, what's the source of the machlokes? Be'shamay savrei aser lehishtamish b'shulchan sheni gzeira mishum ochle truma. Be'shamay says, you're not allowed to use a table which is a sheni latuma, because even if, let's say, the food is not tame, but let's say you're a person who's eating truma. Truma, as we pointed out, can become a shlishi latuma, even mida oraisa. So therefore, Be'shamay says, don't eat on a table which is tame as a sheni latuma, because the next time when you're eating truma, you're going to make the truma tame. Uvesilah savrei, he says, no, mutter lehishtamish b'shulchan sheni ochle truma zrizin heim. Be'shamay says, the people who eat truma are meticulous, they know the halakha, they're not going to make that mistake, and therefore Beis Hillel thinks that there's nothing wrong with eating on a table which is tameh as a sheni l'tuma. Davar acher, another reason for Beis Hillel, ein etilas yadayim l'chulin min haTorah. Mi de'oraisa, one does not need to wash their hands for chulin. This we mentioned before. The only reason why we even wash our hands for bread now at all is because of the gzeira for truma. So which means that mi de'oraisa, if I'm not eating truma, which most people are not today, so then there's really no reason mi de'oraisa to wash your hands. So asks the Gemara, my davar acher, why do I need this alternative reason for Beis Hillel? Hachi ka'amri l'hu Beis Hillel l'Beis Shammai. This is what Beis Hillel was saying to Beis Shammai. V'chi temu, maybe you're going to tell me, Maishna gabe ochlin dechayshinan, u'maishna gabe yadayim delo chayshinan. Why is it, says Beis Hillel to Beis Shammai, he says basically rhetorically, why is it that I'm only concerned when it comes to food, that the food is going to become tame, but when it comes to washing my hands, all of a sudden when dealing with chulin, I'm not concerned that my hands will become tame. Mar says, no, afilu hachi ha'adifa. Beis Hillel says, my logic is still better. De'ein etilas yadayim l'chulin min haTorah. As we mentioned before, there is no concept of washing your hands mid oraisa for chulin, only for truma. Mutav sheitamu yadayim deleislu ikr mid oraisa v'al yitamu ochlim deislu ikr mid oraisa. You're better off letting your hands become tame, because the concept of tuma for your hands is only a din derabanan, as opposed to letting the food become tame. The principle of tumas ochlin, of food becoming tame in certain cases, is in fact mid oraisa. So therefore, we say that it's better to let your hands become tame as opposed to letting the food become tame. Okay, the next case in the Mishnah was Beishamay Omrim Mechabdin. What was that case? Tana Rabbanan. Beishamay Omrim Mechabdin es habayis va'achakach notin layadayim. First you sweep the house, and only then do you wash your hands for mayim achronim. She'ima ata omrim notin layadayim tchila. Because if you're going to wash mayim achronim first, nimtza ata mafsid es ochlin. What are you going to do? If you pick up the food on the table with your wet hands, you're going to ruin the food. So Beishamay says, because we don't want you ruining the food, clean everything up first, and then wash your hands after. Avon natilas yadayim leveishamay tchila usir lehu. But the notion that you're supposed to wash first, Beishamay disagrees with. He says, first sweep the house, first clean the table, and only then do you wash mayim achronim. So asks the Gemara, my time, why does Beishamay insist that you clean the house before you wash your hands? Mishum perurim, because there are all these crumbs of bread on the table where if you handle them with wet hands, you're going to ruin the food. And in fact, that's an issue. You're actually not allowed to ruin the food. It's like a problem of bal tashchis, so therefore you should really clean the house before you wash your hands. However, so Beis Hillel disagrees. Im shamish talmud chacham hu notel perurim sheyesh bahan kezayis umeniach perurim she'ein bahan kezayis. Beis Hillel says if the waiter, the guy who's in charge of cleaning the house, is a Talmud Chacham, so then he knows he should clean off the crumbs that are more than the size of a kezayis, but those crumbs that are less than the size of a kezayis he can leave on the table. Why? What's the basis for that? If you have pieces of bread that are less than a kezayis, it is permissible to actively ruin and destroy that bread. It's only a problem if it's more than a kezayis. So the Gemara asks, again, what's the machlokas between Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel? Beis Hillel savrei aser Beis Hillel says, you are not allowed to have a waiter who's an Am Haaretz working for you, which means that according to Beis Hillel, there is no reason for me to clean the house first because the guy knows what he's doing. The guy, by definition, has to be a Talmud Chacham. He has to know what he's doing. So I don't have to insist that he clean the house first because I know that he's going to get rid of all the pieces of bread before he goes and washes his hands. But Beishamay says, you are allowed to use a waiter who's an Am Haaretz, and therefore you have to make sure that you clean the house first so he doesn't make the mistake of handling bread more than a kezias with wet hands. Amar Rabbi Yossi, yes, sir.
How does this affect, when you go to a bar mitzvah, wedding, yeah, things like that? They obviously have waiters and waitresses who have no concept of what bread is.
Right.
Like that, and they toss into the garbage.
Yeah, so probably lechatchila, the best thing to do is to probably just, if you can, to either, find a bag or just wrap it in something and throw it out. Or to eat it, or to give it to someone to eat, or whatever it is. That's probably the same issue. I mean, again, you're technically ruining food. I mean, because you're throwing it on the floor. Being used, but you're also throwing it on the floor. So it's not, it's no longer edible for human consumption at that point. Yeah. Okay, so the Gemara says, "Amar Rabbi Yosi Bar Chanina, Amar Rav Huna, Bechulei Pirkin Halacha Keveselal Bar Mehad the Halacha Kevesham." In other words, for all the machlokesim in this perek, says the Gemara, we always follow Beselal, except in this one case where the Gemara says we follow Beshamai, namely that we should clean the house before washing our hands. However, Rav Oshia Masne Ipcha Uvahanami Halacha Keveselal. So Rav Oshia actually flipped around the shitos, meaning he thought Beselal says clean the house first and then wash your hands, and Beshamai says the opposite. So at the end, in other words, at the end of the day, we paskin that you should really clean the house and then wash your hands. The question the machlokes is, who was the one who said that statement? So according to Rav Oshia, Beis Hillel also said that, whereas according to Rav Chiya, that was Beis Shammai. He says this is the one case in the parak where you follow Beis Shammai. Okay. Then we said Beis Shammai Omer Neru Mazun. We had a machlokas about what the order is for Havdalah. So the Gemara says, Rav Huna bar Yehuda ikla levei Rava, chazi leRava de barich abisamim bereisha. He saw that Rava made a bracha on Besamim before making the bracha of Borei Maorei Haish. So Omer Le, Michdi, Beis Shammai uVeis Hillel amor lo plige. He says, both Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel agree that you're supposed to make Borei Maorei Haish first. How do we know that? It's not Beis Shammai Omerim Neru Mazon b'samim v'havdalah uveisil omrim ner uvesamim mazon v'havdalah. So you see that again, whichever order you accept, the bracha of ish is going to come before besamim. So the Gemara says no. Ani rava batzrei zo diver Meir. That's only according to Rav Meir, which again we alluded to back on Amud Aleph to this machlokes of a Rabbi Huda Omer lo nechluku beishamay uveisil al hamazon shehu betchila v'al havdalah shehi besof alma nechluku al hamor v'al habesamim shebeishamay omrim al hamor v'acharkach besamim uveisil omrim besamim v'acharkach maor. So the Gemara says that according to Rabbi Huda's presentation of the machlokes, there is in fact a machlokes between Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel about whether besamim should be said before Haish or not. We paskin like Rabbi Yehuda's version of Beis Hillel, where of course we say the bracha of Borei Maorei Haish before the bracha before besamim. Fine. So then the Mishnah says Beis Shammai Omrim Shebara. So again we had a machlokes about whether the proper bracha should be Borei Maorei Haish or Shebara Maor Haish. So what's the machlokes here? So Amar Rava. Everyone agrees that grammatically the word bara means that Hashem created in the past tense. That's the goal. We're trying to get to the past tense, right? We had a very similar machlokes back in the sixth parak regarding the bracha of hamotzi versus motzi, right? Whether it's past tense or present or future tense. So the Gemara says everyone agrees the word bara is in the past tense. Ki plige bivore. The question is, what about the word bore? Beishame savre bore de asid lemivra. Beishame says the word bore means Hashem will create in the future, which is not the point of the bracha. The point of the bracha is to thank Hashem for the fire that He created in the past. No, borei nami debara mashmi. He says no. The word borei can also be past tense. So the Gemara asks, Masiv Rav Yosef Yotzer Aru Vorei Choshech Yotzer Harim Vorei Ruach Borei Hashemayim Venoteim. All these pesukim in Tanakh, it's clear the word borei is being used in the past tense. How could Beis Shammai say the borei is in the present tense? Elam Rav Yosef says you're right. Bevara u borei kuleyama lo pligi debara mashmi. Everyone agrees that the word bara and borei can both mean the past tense. But ki pligi bimaor u meorei. The real machlokas is whether you should say maor haish or meorei haish. What's the machlokas about? To Beis Shammai Savrei Chad Nehora Ika Benura. Beis Shammai says there's really just one flame in a candle, so it makes more sense grammatically to say Borei or Bara Maor Haish. Whereas Uveis Hillel Savrei, no, Tuva Nehora Ika Benura. There are multiple flames within a candle, and therefore you should say Maorei. And the Gemara says Tani Nami Hachi Amru Lehem Beis Hillel Beis Shammai Harbe Maoros Yish Bor. There are multiple flames in the candle, and therefore the bracha that we of course say is Borei Maorei Haish. Okay. Then we said in Mevarchin that you cannot make Havdalah or Besamim on the candle or a besamim of a mace or of a guy or of an Ovid Avodah Zarah. So the Gemara explains, Bishlam and Ner Mishum de lo Shavas, El Besamim my time alone. I understand why you can't make a bracha of Borei Maorei Haish on a candle that belonged to a non-Jew, because it wasn't Shavas, it didn't spend Shabbos. The halacha is, if you had a candle that was being lit be'isser, someone lit it on Shabbos, you're not allowed to make Havdalah on that. But Besamim, what's the issue with Besamim? You're not violating any Avera with Besamim. So the Gemara says, Amar Rav Yehuda Marav, Hacha b'mesibas gayim askinan, mipnei shestam mesibas gayim lavodah zarahi. We're talking about a party of non-Jews where the assumption is that it's being done for idol worship purposes. So this is not a Hilchos Shabbos issue, this is a Hilchos Avodah Zarah a problem, where the assumption is that the besamim, the incense, is being used for idol worship. So the Gemara says, "Hami dikatani seifa in mevarchin lo ala ner velo ala besamim shal avodah zarah michlal dereisha lav avodah zarah askinan." But textually, that's a difficult thing to say, because the reisha, the first part of the Mishnah, was talking about besamim and a ner that was used for avodah zarah, implying I'm sorry, the second half of the Mishnah implying that the first case in the Mishnah was not talking about avodah zarah. So how can the Gemara just say, "Oh, we're talking about avodah zarah"? Gemara says, "No, Amar Rav Chanina misura ma tam ka amar ma tam in mevarchin lo ala ner velo ala besamim shal goyim." The Mishnah was just explaining the logic. Why can't I use the candle or besamim of goyim? Is because the assumption is it's being used for avodah zarah. Tana rabbanan or sheshavas mevarchin alav v'shalosh shavas ein mevarchin alav. You can only make avdalah on a candle that spent Shabbos beheter. In other words, again, as we said before, if it was lit beisr, you're not allowed to make avdalah. So the Gemara wants to clarify. My shavas umay lo shavas. What does that mean exactly? Inema lo shavas machmas melacha afilu mi melacha deheteira. If it means that the candle was never used in the context of a malacha, even a mutter malacha, meaning, as we'll see in a second, let's say a person is ill and they need a candle to be lit. The Gemara says, but that's not true. V'hasanya, or shalchaya v'shalchola mevarchin alav. The halacha is, if you had to light a candle for a person who was deathly ill, a person who, let's say for a woman, a woman who just gave birth, or for someone who's ill, so then you're allowed to make havdalah on that candle. So obviously, shavas doesn't mean that it can't be involved in malacha, which is mutter. The Gemara says, you're right. Amar Rav Nachman bar Yitzchak, my shavas, sheshavas machmas meleches avera. In other words, it can't have been involved in a malacha of an avera. If you had a candle that was lit before Shabbos and it lit the entire Shabbos, you can make havdalah on that because there was no isser involved in lighting that candle.
Okay.
Yeah, just go ahead.